nice warm tea, we can feel stress free. Soft voices and a lot of laughs. Sister Mundane Podcast.
Hey you, how's it going? My name's Chris and this is the Mundane Podcast with my good friend Dave.
Hello.
Every week we talk about something mundane and just, you know, see where it goes with the flow. And this week, Dave, we're going to be talking today about wooden spoons.
Oh, nice. Okay. Yeah.
We've had a couple of abstract concepts for a while. And when we first made this podcast, the thing that I was discovered was that when we were trying to think of things that are mundane, it often came back to tools, really simplified tools, like toothpicks and paper clips. And now that we've done concepts like applause and Thursdays, let's go back to the wooden spoon.
I like that. Yeah.
So what's your opinion on the wooden spoon, Dave?
Well, they're great cooking utensils. And I think everybody, maybe I'm going a bit over the top to say everybody, but I'm going to say everybody because this is the mundane and we don't do half measures. Everybody has one that they probably should have got rid of several years ago. And it's like, it's eroded. It's a bit flaking a bit, chipping a bit, but it's still a trusty wooden spoon. And when I'm making bolognese, I always feel like when I taste the sauce, it tastes better when I taste it off the wooden spoon.
Than the plastic spoon.
Or the metal stainless steel spoon. Yeah. And obviously, you know, you can't leave a stainless steel spoon in your slow cooker or your pan whilst you're cooking away because it will get really hot. And it might even impair the flavour. You know, metal has the capacity to do that.
Whereas
a wooden spoon, that's not going to impair the flavour. And if there's any effect on the flavour, you're not going to notice a bit of wood because, you know, there's plants in your food already.
Exactly. Mm. Interestingly, when I test out food like bolognese, I almost never use the wooden spoon because for some odd reason in my head, it's like dirty. In my head, I'm like, oh no, I don't want to drink it off the wooden spoon. Even though I'm stirring the food with the very instrument I'm thinking is dirty, I'm just like, no, I don't want to try. I suppose it's also practicality. It's quite thick.
Yeah, it is quite thick. I can get an entire wooden spoon end into my mouth, I reckon.
Well,
Definitely half.
Normally in films and stuff, isn't it? If they're having like a seizure or something, that's what they put in their mouths. Or like if it's like, he's going to clench his jaw and they put
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
When in like war films where they're like trying to like sew up the wound, they put like the wooden spoon between their teeth. And they're like, argh!
And if that's in a war film, do you think do they just have wooden spoons handy a lot of the time? Or is it, I guess sometimes it's probably a stick.
I think sometimes it is just a stick, but sometimes, you know. But I suppose if there's lots of cooking, there'd be cooking going on, like in camps
in
and stuff. So,
yeah, the catering tent.
Yeah, and like as you said, like a wooden spoon is so central as a concept for cooking. It's pretty much sometimes, if you only needed like one or two utensils, that's probably one of the ones you go for.
Yeah, I'd say a wooden spoon is quite essential, really.
What else would you go for? What else is an essential cooking utensil?
Well,
because I started thinking like to serve stuff. Spatula. Spatula is the only other thing I can think of. Because to serve stuff, like a ladle of things, you can kind of just pour the pan and then use the wooden spoon.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, I do find spatulas are quite helpful, especially like when you're cooking an egg and you need to get underneath.
You're not going to get underneath with a wooden spoon.
No.
And if you try and use something that is flat, like a knife, you're going to scratch your nice frying pan.
Yeah.
So a spatula, yeah, I'd say they're pretty essential. We've got about 3 or 4 in our house, just in case you wanted
Thank
to know
you.
That. And we've got a couple of wooden spoons. Wooden spatula as well.
Yeah, I was going to say wooden spatulas are quite helpful.
I like them for frying onions. You can sort of scrape
the stuff
from the pan.
Although this is going to go well granular detail now, though, but I always find that like the handle, I really like the handle of a wooden spoon, the kind of the round cylindrical ones. But then I find on the wooden spatulas, the kind of hard edges. The flat hard edges. Sometimes if you're cooking for a while, it might just be me. I do sometimes use them interchangeably. If I'm cooking a bolognese, I'll use whatever wooden utensil is nearby. What's the longest amount of time you think you've had a wooden spatula, a wooden spoon even?
I've still got my first wooden spoon. I believe that when I went shopping with my mum before I went to university to get things like kitchen utensils, mum got me a wooden spoon. So that would be 12 years.
I think I still have my wooden spoon. And it was given to me on Freshers Week at uni. I think there was just like groups like advertising stuff out by giving people wooden spoons. The other weird use I find for wooden spoons, I don't know about you, Dave, is in pubs. I know it's pubs use them for table a lot for number food markers. And table numbers. Yeah.
I was just going to say the same thing. You reminded me of it when you said uni. I'm not sure why. I guess uni pubs.
Uni pubs.
Fairly synonymous.
That was when I first started seeing it. I swear before uni, might have been because I probably wasn't drinking in pubs and thinking about food a lot. And at uni, that's kind of your transition into pubs with wooden spoons as table numbers, like eating in pubs. It's not really something you do until you're like old enough legally to drink, I suppose.
And I guess they kind of fit with the rustic vibe. I guess that's maybe that's a reason why rustic. A lot of pubs,
nothing says rustic like a wooden spoon. Like if you go to a fancy place and they've got these elegantly designed table markers, or they're glass, or maybe like there's future ones that have little projector numbers.
Yeah,
we could have that, but no, there's nothing quite as sublime or rustic as just the wooden spoon with a Sharpie.
I bet some people don't even, well, they probably do use them, but I bet some people have wooden spoons that they just have on display in their rustic kitchen.
Oh, really? Do you think? You know, people have knives. In modern kitchens, they have knives, don't they? They always have the knife display or like the magnets they stick them on. You need like a wooden magnet. Something that attracts wood, or just, I suppose, like a hook. You could just put them on a hook.
Yeah, a hook, or you could even make a sort of display stand for them or something. I tell you what, I bet my mum has got wooden spoons that she's had for way more than 12 years. I look at some of those spoons in my mum's kitchen, I think that's probably been cooking good food for 30 years, maybe more. Because there's ones I remember being a kid, a little kid, and I'm sure she's still got these same ones, and you look and they've got black bits where they've been charred, and it's like,
yeah. Do you think it absorbs the flavour?
I do wonder. Probably not, but I think there's also this sort of subconscious kind of thing that makes me think this spoon's going to make it taste better because look at what it's done.
The history. Staring with history
in the spoon. If you could actually, you know, scientifically examine a wooden spoon, could you work out what meals it's cooked over the years? And into how much detail.
Wow. You know, you like putting a black light to a hotel room. You want to put like a equivalent to a wooden spoon to see what things it, where has it been?
Yeah.
What experiences have you had, wooden spoon? What have you seen? Tell me your story. That's interesting. I never thought about that. Like there is a lot of history. I always think about that with like old pots. There's those famous old meals where they're like the pots where they can keep them burning for like actual years because they keep it at just the right temperature so bacteria doesn't form in it.
Yeah.
And then they just keep adding new stuff. So it means if they just add bones, because it sits there for literally months constantly boiling, eventually the bones just turn to broth. They just evaporate, not even evaporate, they just, what's the word? Disintegrate?
I suppose it would be. Yeah, disintegrate. Yeah,
they just disintegrate down into these things, but they always keep them boiling up to that high point. And then, I think stirring that thing the whole time. But you have to clean your wooden spoon because eventually you take the wooden spoon out and then part of the meal on the wooden spoon is then going to go down to a temperature that bacteria could grow on.
That's true. Yeah. So where have you seen these long-term cook-offs? I'm intrigued.
I think there's one called, I think it's called the Forever Stew. I might be wrong. The Perpetual Stew. So a perpetual stew known as a hunter's pot or hunter's stew is a pot in which whatever one finds is placed and then cooked. The pot is never or rarely emptied all the way, and ingredients and liquid are replenished as necessary. The concept is a common element in descriptions of medieval inns. I always think in Red Dead Redemption 2, how you always have the stew.
That's probably a perpetual stew.
Yeah, foods prepared in a perpetual stew have been described as being flavorful due to the manner in which the ingredients blend together, which I would argue is the same as any soup, stew, or anything comes from the flavor being all the ingredients mixed together.
Yeah.
In fact, cooking anything, the flavour comes from mixing the ingredients together.
I think, that's basically the definition of cooking, isn't it, in a way?
Or exactly. But then, and the idea is that it will go with age and can keep going.
I'd love to try a perpetual stew.
Yeah, I know. It sounds like a good band. Sounds like a good prog band. Good prog
rock
band. It does,
It would be a prog band, Perpetual Stew.
Perpetual Stew, yeah. Either that or it's just a guy who won't die.
Called Stuart.
Yeah, just perpetual stew. He's just always there. Gosh darn perpetual stew. So that's the idea, is that it keeps away bacteria. But obviously with wooden spoons, you end up cleaning. But then, you know, the grain of the wood absorbs, creates memories. It works like the brain.
How clean do you really get them?
Exactly.
I mean, I kind of like that rustic thing with wooden equipment where it's like, you know, it's not completely clean and therefore maybe my food tastes better. It might be a little bit more dangerous, but it might taste better too. Because obviously they say don't do raw meat on wooden chopping boards because that you can't fully wash the raw meat out of the board. I have done raw meat on chopping boards as well, but I like to live on the edge. So
yeah, I've just found an article from a newspaper that I don't really want to give any credence to.
Yeah, don't.
One of the headlines is people are soaking their clean wooden spoons in boiling water and the results are absolutely disgusting. A wooden spoon is a staple item in everyone's kitchen. But how do you know when it's time to bin the one you have? And should you be using something else instead? An Australian chef has suggested soaking your cooking utensil in boiling water to see how dirty they really are. And the results are disgusting.
Well, one man's disgusting is another man's delicious.
Well, apparently, yeah. So if you leave it inside a cup of boiling water for up to 20 minutes, all the oils will come out of the wood. So maybe that's the kind of stuff. That's the memories. You're basically draining your spoon of memories. You're just, you're giving it electroshock therapy, which ironically, they put like wooden spatulas in your mouth, don't they? They put like the foamy bits now, but I think they used to. They used to put in tongue depressors. I remember seeing tongue depressors in something.
But you're sterilizing the spoon at that point, and in theory, the bacteria that's going in the water and possibly making the water go brown and look disgusting is possibly had the bacteria killed in it too. So at that point, would it make a nice stock?
Yeah. Well, that's it, right? And the other thing is that I'm not a scientist here or a bacteria spokesperson, so I don't really feel like I really don't feel like I can say about the quality or the safety of cooking with things that potentially have this in. This is also one of those articles that drives me absolutely mad that modern newspapers do, where they just start quoting random people on social media as like a thing. One woman took to Facebook to share her results after noticing a heavy layer of cooking oil appearing on top of the water within minutes. She said, "This one is going in the bin. A tip I learned from Matt Preston years ago. Does anybody soak their wooden spoons in boiling water?" And someone else replied, "Mine always go into the dishwasher every night, but that doesn't stop what gets absorbed. Revolting, really." Shocked by the results, another person wrote, "OMG, I'm going to do this to my spoons right now." How is that news? This is like a completely random side thing, but it drives me mad.
No, I know. I mean, it's at the same time, it's better than news than a lot of the mainstream news we get these days. Because I'll tell you what, I was watching a documentary on Netflix. I can say what it is, can't I? There's no...
Yeah. You can say what you want.
I'm not being paid to say this, and my opinions are my own. I was watching a documentary called This Is Pop on Netflix. I thought the first half of the series was outstanding, really, really interesting. And there's an episode about Britpop. And back in the 90s, when you and I were probably 6 or 7 years old, the headlines on all the national newspapers, I mean all of them, the headline news on the front page was Blur versus Oasis, the Britpop War, which incidentally, I didn't even know really much about it, but Blur won technically.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously in the long run, Oasis became the much bigger band. But, you know, that's another debate. Exactly. But Gorillaz. Yeah, that's basically what I was going to say.
And also like nobody cares.
And also I like Blur more than Oasis. But...
And also I like Blur and Pulp. Pulp were part of that argument as well.
They were a completely
different kind of band.
And Stone Roses came along before any of them. So,
exactly.
But, you know, you just wouldn't get that on the front page news anymore.
I find like, you know, like on news programs where they go out and interview the people on the street.
Yeah.
But I always find there's a bit more, I don't know, maybe it's because you're seeing the person speaking. Although admittedly, I don't like those either. They're called Vox Pops. I don't like Vox Pops. When I did media production at uni, we had to go out and film Vox Pops and I hated it because it was just like people would just say anything. And it doesn't feel like there's anything credible coming out of it.
Yeah.
And I think the thing is, there's a lot of studies and things that show that people like seeing normal people react to stuff to almost help inform their way of reacting to stuff. But when you start reading elsewhere, another woman asked, "Has anyone tried the Matt Preston hack with their wooden spoons?
Hack.
Soak in a cup of boiling water. I do it every week," and shared a snap of a wooden spoon bathing in a pot of water. This is the same article. So it's basically just... introduce the fact that someone else has asked about it. We already know that. That's already had Anyway, one person responded, I find wooden spoons have a... Hold on, I'm going to change, because it says one person. We don't know whether they're a guy or a girl.
Okay.
I'm putting assumptions on gender based on who's posting about these, but I'm going to kind of go a different way. One person responded, I find wooden spoons have a funky taste if they have been soaked in water. So I just grab cheap ones often, crack them out after a few uses, or else the taste leaches into the food. Or they crack.
I mean,
but the taste leaching into the food is what we want. That's what we're, that's the history, that's the memories of the spoon, the things spoon has seen.
And I've used cracked wooden spoons before. It's fine. I mean, what's the worst that can happen? You get a bit of chip of wood in your food. And all these people fretting about the bacteria and sterilizing their spoons in boiling water. Well, hold on a minute, people. When did they start doing this? Is this why we have got COVID? Is this why so many people got COVID? Because, you know, our immune systems, we need a little bit of dirt from time to time to remind our white blood cells that there's a big bad world of bacteria out there. And here's a little dose to show you what to do with it. And, you know, I think I've turned out all right thus far, eating the food that has been cooked with ancient wooden spoons. And I'm not going to start putting mine in boiling water now just because Matt Preston says that I should. And it's not a hack. The only thing it's hacking is your immunity. It's hacking your immunity down.
I would once again implore everybody to make their own decisions.
Yeah, this is by no means... Don't listen to me.
Any kind of scientific basis or thought on anything.
Pure opinion.
It is pure, unadulterated David opinion. Because one of the things they're suggesting is going for silicon stirrers and things.
Right, okay. I mean, which, you know, makes sense.
Silicon's
stuff is
clean. You know, plastic and runoff from plastics is a big thing. So there's also issues there, especially health issues. But also, they're not quite as rustic.
They're not, no.
Silicon is the future. Silicon Valley, I don't know, other things that are silicon. There's
well,
the valley.
Most sex toys are made of silicon these days.
That was what I was
going
to say, Dave.
It's very washable, very washable.
I'm just trying to keep this podcast as clean as we can.
I've done a clap. We're going to do an edit. And I'm going to change my statement to most adult toys are made from silicon these days.
That's better. Most adult toys are made from silicon. Very good.
You can put them in a dishwasher.
You wouldn't want wooden ones. You wouldn't want wooden adult toys.
No, you don't want to soak up the things that wooden spoons would soak up if you're using them as a toy.
Exactly.
You want, and it's good that you can dishwash the toys as
Yeah, I was going to say, you can't dishwash wooden. You can't dishwash, same as wooden cutting boards. You shouldn't
dishwash mine, but that wooden board was bought at the same time that I got the wooden spoon before university. So it's a 12-year-old wooden board that was quite cheap.
Yeah, well.
And I've just, you know what? I'm going to dishwash it now because it's had its lifetime already.
It's the kitchen utensil version of the old guy that sits in the pub that you kind of like, I think he has a drinking problem, but he also looks like he's been here more than any other human being in this town. So I don't feel like I can say anything to him now.
Yeah, you don't want to break that cycle sometimes. No. You know, sometimes some things are just meant to be.
And that's what your chopping board is in the dishwasher. Yeah. Interestingly, now that we're talking about adult toys, have you ever heard of a Spurtle? Not the Pokemon.
No, that's Squirtle.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I was told about a Spurtle and I laughed because I didn't believe they existed. And those that are Scottish will know this. A Spurtle is a Scottish kitchen tool designed for stirring porridge. And it literally looks like a magic wand from Harry Potter. It's literally just a wooden stick with a couple of like ridges in. And it is used mainly to stir porridge, soup, stews and broths.
So you could essentially make your own by snapping the spoon end off a wooden spoon. And
if you snap the spoon off end. But that's what interests me is that like the first Spurtle is recorded in 1528. And like obviously spoons were recorded before then. It just shows that we have always had kitchen crap where like it is done for one use and one use only, like a melon turner or like specific things where it's
a
like
melon
I think it's a melon turner. I remember seeing certain objects that they are designed for one job,
to turn a melon round.
I think it's a melon turner. Have I made that up? No, it's not a melon turner. Oh no,
I'll tell you a good utensil whilst you're looking for your melon turner related tool.
Yeah.
An egg pricker.
An egg pricker?
Yeah, you ever seen one of those? They look like almost like a the ones I've seen anyway, they almost look like a doorbell with quite a big button, like a white plastic doorbell. And they've got a circular part on the top that you just put the egg on vertically, and you just go and you stack, sort of push it down or stack, clamp it down or whatever, you know, with a bit of force, and it just pricks a hole in it so that when you boil the egg, that you don't get as much, if any, of the egg coming out of it, because it makes a nice, clean, consistent hole rather than if you do it with a knife. I've not had a lot of success doing that. So obviously you've got to prick your egg before you hard boil it.
Do you? I've never pricked my egg before.
Well, always say ten. Well, it's, I guess it's a. You might get away with it, but usually what will happen is the shell will crack from the pressure, the egg expanding inside when it cooks.
Oh, I've never.
And to
I have
hole
had that
there.
Happen, but I didn't know that's what you do. You can just make a hole.
Yeah, and my mum's got an egg pricker. My brother recently got one as well. I remember. I think it was part of one of his birthday presents.
Yeah, because that's a good birthday present. Is an egg pricker. That's interesting. I've never actually thought about that. I've honestly never put a hole in my eggs.
Oh,
do you put a hole in your eggs at home? Write in. Let us on
a postcard. Write in.
We're 20 minutes in and we haven't even gotten to any of the articles I brought up about wooden spoons, aside from cleaning them. Let's bring it back to kitchen stuff.
Yeah.
In the fact that there is sometimes just tools that only have one job when you're like an apple corer. Like, okay, that's really cool, but you could just use a knife.
Yeah, you could.
If you want to eat it like an apple as a whole, but that is a very specialist thing. Same as a spurtle to a wooden spoon. A spurtle is just for stirring. Because there's no spoon end, you can't taste anything afterwards. You literally need then an extra spoon automatically.
Yeah, I mean, maybe your best bet is actually just to get your wooden spoon, and this is going to blow some Scottish minds right now, and just put it round the other way.
Use the handle.
And then, right, when you want to have a little taste, just give the handle a wipe, put the spoon end in, have a taste.
Yeah, but then your hand's been touching it.
Yeah, but if it's just you having your porridge, or you and your close-knit family, then, you know, maybe you can share a bit of bacteria.
Yeah, you rub your hands on each other all the time, I'm sure, all over your faces. Know. I think this is probably a sign of the new normal and the times that we're in, that, like, bacteria and stuff on hands is, like, the first thing that comes into my head now and we're thinking about this.
Yeah.
I don't think this would have happened before 2020.
No, I don't think it would have done.
So anyway, I've got the history of the wooden spoon from pacificmerchants.com, and it opens with a quote that I would posit is a bit superfluous, but works quite well. I felt like I just said a load of fancy words then. I feel really posh, and then all of a sudden I've torn it all back down by them bringing extra reference to it. So I'm just going to shut up and continue reading the article. I'm brilliant at cooking my stepmother's scrambled egg recipe. The secret is to put eggs, butter, milk, and seasoning together in the saucepan and keep stirring with a wooden spoon under a low heat until the preferred consistency is reached.
That is the way to do it.
That is a quote by Sir Ian McKellen.
is
how this article
source.
Has opened up with. Now, it goes, if imagining Gandalf whipping up a dish of scrambled eggs armed with not a staff, but a wooden spoon doesn't make you want to jump into the kitchen, then I don't know what will.
I feel inspired already.
In an era of quick, cheap and convenient, the wooden spoon is often bypassed in favour of its cousin, the plastic spoon. I kind of like the idea that there is a family now. I like the idea that all utensils are related.
Yeah, I like that.
And it's just that's the plastic. The wooden spoon, much like we described before, is the old one. Like, I've seen things, has memories going, I remember this stew. You're using too much oregano this time. While the plastic spoon is like young and doesn't really know. It's just like, yeah, I'm going in right now.
I can imagine the family of wooden spoons sitting at the dinner table and Mrs. Wooden Spoon says, oh, Mr. Spoon, you invited the plastics over, didn't you, tomorrow? And then he'll groan, oh, yeah, the plastics are coming over again tomorrow. Oh. Yeah, the plastic spoon.
You know what, though? I imagine the plastics as always being on their phone. I don't imagine
it
would be like that.
Just like in the football world, people who are considered kind of non-fans, who don't really support the team and just sit in their armchair and never actually go to the games, they get referred to as plastics, which I think is sometimes unfair because, you know, I can't go to the games very much because the stadium hasn't got enough seats for people like me in that capacity. Not that I'm really big or anything like, or special. And also, I live quite far away from the stadium that I would go to watch the football. But I'm not a plastic. I'm a real fan. But anyway, yeah.
that was an enjoyable tangent about you and football fans. Interesting. Yeah. So the family of wooden spoons. So
yeah.
I imagine the wooden family, they live in a cottage. There's like exposed wood, maybe even exposed brick. While the plastics, yeah, they live in a future house.
They've got Sky. The wooden spoons, they've only got channel 1 to 5 terrestrial. They haven't even got Freeview yet. They're still somehow using the analog TV network.
Maybe there's the plastics and then there's also the silicons. The silicons are different to the plastics.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
the plastics are disposable. Yeah. They're young and they're like, there's no delayed gratification for them. They're like instant. They're like, put me in you. Oh, yeah. And they're going out. They go to nightclubs all the time, the plastic spoons.
Yeah.
While the wooden spoons are like, no, I'm going to sit down with a book in front of the fire.
Yeah.
The silicons are like, we will go into VR and we will go across to the sands of the Nevada desert, but in the year 2041 on this specific date, because Google Maps does that now. I don't know why silicon people like going into Google Map versions of deserts, but, you know, they like the future.
Yeah, that I agree. And I actually think maybe the different generations, like the boomers, the millennials, the zoomers, could be easier explained and described as a type of spoon. So the boomers are probably the wooden spoon, although maybe that gives them too much credit, but you know, it's kind of got to be that way though, isn't it? Or maybe even the pre-boomers, and then our generation, we're the millennials really, aren't we? We're probably plastic spoons, as much as it pains me to say it.
We're sporks.
Okay. Yeah.
We're sporks. We're sporks. If we're going down, yeah. We're sporks. We're not even a type of spoon, but we're such a Frankenstein amalgamation of having to work multiple jobs and multiple things to get our way in life, but we're never fully appreciated because we're doing too many things at once. That's what a spork is.
And we're multi-purpose.
Yeah. This analogy completely breaks down, so I'm just going to continue going on this story. In favour of its cousin, the plastic spoon. And what a shame. Because in addition to being safer and more environmentally friendly, the wooden spoon possesses a host of superior qualities, not to mention a fascinating era dating as far back as the Paleolithic era. Nearly all cultures have used a wooden spoon. Ancient Egyptians buried them in tombs to be used in the afterlife. See? So helpful. In Wales, young men would carve intricate love spoons to give their sweethearts.
That's true. I've seen them, actually, in the shops in Wales.
Oh, I thought you were like, oh, I've been given lots of love spoons.
I wish.
And in France, wooden spoons were elevated to an artist's tool as the preferred cooking utensil for professional chefs. Even after plastic and metal utensils became common, wood has remained the favoured material by professional chefs. To use a classic French wooden spoon is to continue the tried and true traditions of past masters. This is a very nice article.
Mm.
Wooden spoons are versatile and can be used to prepare a variety of dishes. They have several advantages over their metal and plastic counterparts. Unlike metal, which can quickly become hot to the touch, a wooden spoon can be comfortably gripped without the danger of burning one's hand. Trees naturally fight infection, and although no longer a living organism, wood will retain the properties that prevent bacteria and mold growth. So there we go. So
Matt Preston, go and do some homework on your trees.
This isn't cited though, so I would still suggest a level of cynicism.
Unlike
plastic, wooden spoons do not leach chemicals or melt when exposed to heat. Boxwood trees, symbols of immortality, provide hardwood for spoons that resist chipping and splitting. I originally read that as spitting, and I like the idea of these spoons being like, I was like, stop it, spoon. So this is what it says. Boxwood trees, symbols of immortality, provide hardwood for spoons that resist chipping and splitting. An immortal spoon, if you will.
Mm.
I do will that as an immortal spoon.
That also sounds like a band name.
Immortal spoon?
Yeah, probably a prog band again.
Yeah. Simple steps can be taken to further preserve the shape and quality of wooden utensils. It is recommended that wooden utensils be hand-washed with hot water and mild dish soap and left to air dry. Rubbing mineral oil or beeswax compound, avoid vegetable oil since these can go rancid, into a dry utensil will return to its satiny finish. I've never done that. Have you ever treated your wooden spoon? Have you ever given your wooden spoon a nice spa day?
No, I haven't. It makes me feel bad, actually.
Yeah, maybe we all need to... Maybe that's the ultimate takeaway of this, is we need to
show some more
wooden
love.
Spoons. Yeah, show them a bit more love. Wooden spoons are also more aesthetically pleasing than dull plastic and cold metal spoons. A very subjective take, but I do also agree with it.
Mm, and slippery silicon.
Yeah. Ugh. Ugh. They're used for other things. Gross.
Adult things. And you wouldn't want to stir your bolognese with a toy, an adult toy. But if you had to and it came to it, you could, and then you could put it in a dishwasher.
You could, and then you could put it in the dishwasher.
Yeah. That is the pro with silicon. So, you know,
that is the pro.
It just and then doesn't look as nice.
You could go, maybe that will be it. Wood stirred, wooden man part stirred soup. It's like, wow, why does this taste so good? And he goes, wow, it was stirred with finest silicon object.
Phallic. Object.
Oh, yeah, there we go. Phallic stew. There we
phallic
go.
Phallic stew. Yeah, yeah.
How did you stir it? Well, I stirred it with silicon wood. Silicon wood? There's no such thing. Oh, there is. But the wood isn't literal.
Yeah.
Wink.
Wink, wink.
Wink, wink. Like a well-worn pair of jeans, a wooden spoon can become an item unique to its owner's sense of touch through slight changes in colour, texture, and sheen. That's the memories again. This person really gets it. Pacific Merchants understands that love, that neat, like just the wisdom and history your wooden spoon will have.
It's the wise old owl of your kitchen.
It is the wise old owl of your kitchen. So the final part of this, why not peruse our selection of French wooden tools and take your cooking to the next level? Made in France and available in an array of sizes and styles, you are surely to find something that will become a cherished possession. So it did just turn into an advert at the end because that's what this blog was for.
Of course.
But you know what? There was like a moment, wasn't there? I really like how this article was because we think about it, this, even though this is what they call content marketing, this is just someone writing a blog, so when someone Googles something, it comes up and it happens to take them to their website. But at the start, you know, their Lord of the Rings fan came through by quoting Sir Ian McKellen for no other reason aside from the fact that he mentions a wooden spoon. It's not like wooden spoons are the greatest things in the world. He's literally like, oh yeah, I also use a wooden spoon. Like, that's the same as anything,
scrambled
really.
Egg.
Yeah. That'd be like trying to quote about, I don't know, some running shoes, and then someone was like, I like to walk a bit faster.
I bet it's much easier to find a celebrity anecdote about running shoes than wooden spoons. So props to them for coming across Ian McKellen and his wooden spoon.
It's not even a wooden spoon anecdote though, isn't it? It's just that I use a wooden spoon. Like imagine if he just said I use a silicon spoon. But that's the other thing about wooden spoons. Nobody ever goes a silicon spoon. They might go, I use my spoon, just stir it with a spoon.
Yeah.
But a wooden spoon, that's just, you have to say wooden spoon.
It's wooden. You specified that it's a wooden spoon.
Even a plastic spoon, I wouldn't know whether it is silicon or other kinds of plastic that I use to make plastic spoons.
It would be some sort of thermosetting plastic, I reckon. I hope my design technology teachers from back in the day are listening and thinking, yeah, he listened. He listened.
He listened.
Probably not urea formaldehyde, though, because that's not flexible enough. That's mostly what they make door handles out of.
Oh, interesting. Well, maybe that'll be good for a future episode, because funnily enough, that's on my list of potential future episodes.
Urea formaldehyde?
No, door handles.
Oh, door handles. I was gonna say, that's quite specific.
Urea formaldehyde. Maybe that's what I need to do. We, like I said at the start, we've done different tools. I tried going to some abstract concepts, but maybe we need to go to full-on elements now. Let's break down. What's the most mundane element?
Well,
carbon, probably. Carbon's the most common.
It's probably carbon, yes. Or, you know, oxygen, maybe. Or nitrogen.
Nitrogen's pretty
carbon,
mundane.
You know, there's a lot to carbon. It creates fossils.
So,
anyway.
To bring it back.
Bring it back.
To bring it back, wooden spoons, arguably, as you said, Dave, the wide and wise old owl in your kitchen, remembering that time you did add a bit too much basil, that time you did use Italian mixed herbs when you could have just used normal mixed herbs and there isn't really much of a difference. That time where you did actually remember the recipe and you did it all from memory and then you realized you forgot cheese. It was there the whole time. The wooden spoon was there.
Stored.
Watching you mix, watching you make your mistakes, but forgiving you, always being there for you.
Mm.
So on that, I think I just want to say thank you, wooden spoons, for really being there, being the wise old cooking utensil we all need.
Yeah.
That is just as useful. It's not violent, like a knife cutting into things, making big changes. The wooden spoon is just there to mix things up, help us all get along. They're like the friend that you have that has those parties that brings loads of different groups of friends together so other people can meet in their own special ways. That's what a wooden spoon is. They're just like blending everyone in together without cutting them.
Maybe at the most they might give you a splinter if they're old and frayed.
If they're old and frayed, but then you forgive them because
they're old and frayed.
Yeah, and all the memories they've given you.
All the seepage and just all the seepage.
All the seepage. Nice,
giving extra flavour from past dishes gone by into your current broth or bolognese or whatever you'd be cooking.
Yeah, exactly.
It's quite magical, you know. I know we've basically ended the episode, but I do wonder, you know, who would you like to borrow a wooden spoon off? You know, who would you like to borrow a wooden spoon off someone? That's, I guess, another question as well. But if you could choose a celebrity to borrow a wooden spoon from, because you think, yeah, their spoon's going to have the best memories, maybe the best tasting memories, maybe the most interesting memories. But
I imagine Ian McKellen. I'm going back to Ian McKellen, based not only on that quote, but I know he cooks a lot of eggs with them. So I'm guessing that it's going to be a very good eggy spoon. And judging by, and also, you know, Ian McKellen, he's quite old, so it would have absorbed a lot of flavours over time.
It would have done.
My initial temptation was to go with celebrity chefs, but then they use
different...
Yeah,
that would be the obvious.
They use loads of different utensils all the time. I don't think they have like a favourite...
Probably not. Not on their shows, but maybe at home they do. If Gordon Ramsay is listening to this episode, I know he listened to the other week, then, Gordon, just let us know, you know, how old is your oldest wooden spoon?
Yeah, any chefs out there? What wooden spoons do you have? What's your oldest wooden spoon? Or anyone, really. I suppose anyone could be a chef and be a cook.
Yeah.
What's your oldest wooden spoon? What memories does that wooden spoon have that you can share with us? And I suppose, with that, I would implore you to look at your wooden spoon and think, how can I re-season this? That's what apparently it's called, is you re-season to kind of bring it back up. Same as you do with a cast iron skillet as well. So maybe it's time, you know, you look at that old wooden spoon and you're like, it's time for a spa day. And, you know, recoat it. Treat it. Treat that
wood. Show that spoon some love.
Yeah.
Because Lord knows that spoon has shown you some love over the years.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. Not too much love, though, because you'd get splinters.
Yeah.
That's why you have to go for silicone for that kind of thing.
Oh, for that kind of love. Yeah. No, don't use a wooden spoon for that.
No.
Especially if you're going to also cook with that spoon.
And with that...
And especially if you're having a dinner party with people coming from outside your household...
And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I just want you all to know that I love you and I hope you have a very good day.
And the what Chris said there, that too from me, Dave.
What? What is that?
Me, Dave.
Me, Dave.
I love you all, everybody. Thank you for listening once again.
Yeah. Thank you very much, everyone. Bye.
Goodbye.
Sister Mundane Podcast.